Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Please be seated. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Please be seated. We're going to be very fast. I honestly want to take out time and appreciate NCCF Lagos particularly. I have been quite frequent here, and I think it's because of the wisdom and the leadership of the executives, both past and present. There are a number of them here, and I truly love every one of you, and may the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Are we ready to receive tonight? Praise the Lord. Wherever we stop tonight, we'll just halt. By the way, those lovely ladies, may the Lord bless you. Where are they? Bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. May the Lord increase you. I want to teach on something that I think is very, very, not only very dear to me, but I think will be a very good foundation for us to receive the fresh fire that we so desire. You know, I'm really happy that I have the opportunity to teach. Most of my coming is more evangelical, because you just have 1 or 2 days with the corpus, and most of them, they are a collection of people who just came in, most of them with no foundations. So you are just as basic as possible to touch on whatever can just guide and make their stay fruitful. But this is a conference, and I'll just share with you on something that will really build you. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you already prayed in the spirit. There is a posture that a believer must assume in the spirit that allows for that person to be greatly used by the Spirit of the living God. The posture of availability is not the only posture required. You know, most times people teach that if you want to be used of God, be available, and that's all. That's a very sincere proposition, but being available alone will not make you to host the glory, the power, and the fire of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If we truly desire the fire of God to fall upon us, not just as a ritual, not just as the name or the theme of a conference, then I want you to follow me closely as I open up to us the posture that believer must attain before you receive of that fire. Remember, the idea of empowering people was not man's idea. It's God's system. It's part of the provision he has put in place to be able to challenge the gates of hell and to be able to advance his cause. So let's begin. I think we should talk a little about the church. Let's talk about the church. It comes from the word ecclesia, the church. And most of us already know that the Greek word there is ecclesia. And it's not a religious term at all. Are we together? It has nothing to do with church services. It has nothing to do with crusades. It has nothing to do with ministry. It has nothing to do with being a man of God. The term ecclesia is a political language. Are we together? It's a language that suggests a people. Let me read for you something that I wrote down here. It's the word called out. It's the word separated. It's the word trained. It's the word sent. All composed in that word ecclesia. A people who are called out. A people who are separated. A people who are equipped. And a people who are sent. Take note. When we say you are the church, you are a people who are called out, separated, trained, sent. If these four things are not captured in the experience of a believer or a people, they cannot be called the church. They can be called members of a denomination. They can be called followers of a sect, even if it's a Christian belief. Are we together now? So the idea, let me tell you the reason why many people are frustrated being churchgoers. Because God's idea of kingdom advance, God's idea of dominion has been corrupted by religion. Are we together? Religion is man's attempt to touch reality, man's attempt to find God. And as well-meaning as it is, if we do not return to the Spirit of God to carve out patterns, you know, God is a God of patterns. It matters how things are done, not just that they are done. It matters how things are done. It is a pattern that makes jollof rice, jollof rice. It is a pattern that makes fried rice, fried rice. Are we together? Yes. You miss one step and you produce something else. So let's start by understanding that God's idea of church is not Sunday to Sunday service. As a matter of fact, I truly believe if Jesus walked on earth, we will hate him. Because his idea of the kingdom, his perception and his pattern will insult what we call religion or Christianity today. Nothing wrong with the things that we do, except for the fact that we have lost the reality. And I'm hoping that in this conference, as we contend for this, that God will broaden our understanding so that our lives be very useful. The average believer's life is a cycle. Like you have water cycle, nitrogen cycle, you have Christian cycles. A cycle that is full of religions, marked largely by frustration. And most of you do not have the courage to confront this and say, look, there's got to be something more. What is all this? Okay, I go to church on Sunday and then I speak in tongues a little on Wednesday. What else do I do? Then they say, marry or, you know, be a graduate. And then we live our lives in frustration. We know we are frustrated, but religion has trained us to keep quiet and continue in that pain and continue in that frustration. And so you see people who are non-Christians become Christians after an evangelical proposition, and 2 years down the line they do not see anything that is worthy of their staying. Are we together? Is the reason why the moment people come into environments like this and they are exposed to anything that can give some level of flavor to life outside of the religious context, they dance and they fall into it. Most times we wonder why nice, well-meaning, well-behaved people come to regions like this and all of a sudden they just change. They don't change. They just give their frustration an expression. They've always been looking for a way to ask a question, is this all? And so I want to guide you and in some way deliver you from this spirit called religion, to open you up to the reality of the Christian experience that is brought fruitful and rewarding, that will cause you to love God with all your heart in truth, not by force, not as a system of appeasing a man of God, not as a system of appeasing a denomination's tenets. All those things will be achieved if you get what I'm teaching you. Are we blessed? Many Christians, believe me when I tell you this, are frustrated. They are so frustrated, it has become like a stronghold that is upon territories. Tomorrow, right now, thousands of churches in this city will be full of those we call worshipers or followers. And you ask them, where are you going to? They say, I'm going to church. Who asks you to go? They say, I dare not refuse to go. What will I tell my pastor? 1 o'clock, the average service is done and we return back to our frustration. We go with our pen, we go with our paper, Some of you, us are workers. We have to rush to make sure things are in place. But listen with me for a moment. What are we exactly doing? What is the name of what we are doing? What is the mission? What did Jesus really come to do? Are we blessed? Remember, you also inherited it from someone, because you grew up watching someone do it and you had never seen another way of doing it. And so you know you have to do it. A number of you were given devotionals, and I know as NCCF you have devotions every morning, and a number of you have stayed part of this great family, and you have no personal appetite for that thing you do. It's just a commitment that you have to do as part of the rules of becoming part of this family, and it is very important. But the reason why it has not blessed you is that it has not stemmed from a standpoint of genuine desire. So if left to your options, you will not do it. That's why you have to be called every day. That's why there is no intrinsic desire. Are we together? So a gentleman claims he loves God, and all of a sudden he finds himself looking at a beautiful lady, and he doesn't know what to make out of that experience. Is it lust? Am I demonic? Do I ask for forgiveness? What in the world has happened to me right now? Same thing with a lady. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. If we do not find substance to our Christian experience, we will only flatter ourselves. And I promise you, one day, when you are in an environment where nobody knows you, you will be surprised that you will have to. It's like breathing in. You can't breathe in indefinitely. You must find a way of breathing out. And that breathing out for many people will be disaster. That's why you see people who come, they serve God. You see them 4 years later. You say, I thought you were a coordinator. I leave that thing. By just doing it now, this is the real me. Are we blessed? I've shared with you my story, how that my grandfather was one of the founders of one of the major denominations down north. And so I came from a religious family. My father was a Baptist, you know, my mother being a pastor's daughter. I had no chance to even look at options of not loving God. By what standard? It was religion all the way. And the more I associated myself with this religion, the more I found out that everything the Bible said should be my experience was not becoming my experience. When I encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, I began to scan around the body of Christ to look for what group of people modeled what was closest to my experience. And I was surprised how long I kept searching. I was surprised how long I kept searching. I found some, but I was surprised. It shouldn't take that long, but it took so long to find a people who understood Jesus truly. Are we blessed? Matthew chapter 16. I hope God is helping us tonight. I came to challenge you. This is a conference. If you pay attention to me, you will live a very fruitful life. If you don't, then I feel very sad. And much more, I feel sad not just for you, for your children. Let's not punish our children with our ignorance. Let's be the generation that has paid that price. And let's bring children who will touch reality, who will truly be the reason why the purposes of Christ will be established in a territory. Go to Corporate Affairs Commission and ask them to give you the list of churches in Nigeria and the list of churches in Africa. They almost outweigh the list of companies that exist. Yet, the evil that prevail per society, per territory, seem to have no respect for the presence of the church. Are we together? Now, I'm not being sarcastic. Remember, I'm part of the body. That's why I'm helping you. You can find out that there is a church right here holding all kinds of conferences, and there is a beer parlor sharing the same fence with the church, and for 10 years they are partners like that. They share generator, they share water, they even collect water water for the minister as loan from the beer parlor, and they use it for 10 years. The people have not seen a need. They have not been proposed a life that is higher than that. Out of all the conferences that has happened in that neighborhood, that the beer parlor has not seen a reason to be proposed a dimension of living that is so high enough to want them to come. Yet in the Bible, when Jesus spoke with people, they were too grateful to keep quiet. It was magnetic. Something about his proposition forced men. A prostitute would leave what she was doing at once. No religion, no coercion. The only people who were angry at Jesus' ministry were religious people, not sinners. He comes to a woman by the well, and in minutes he won her over. He came to a man who was a demoniac, and within a short time he had won 10 cities. That woman said, "Come see a man. Come see a man. I have received an ideology that is higher. I knew my prostitution was not just that I was a bad person. There was a void in my heart looking for substance. Come see a man who has given me life, not made me a church goer, not made me a tongue talker. Come see a man who has shown me a reason to be alive." I'm not against church. I'm not against religion. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You just follow me with an open heart and let God give you something that will make you stay with him forever. Because you see, the kind of thing we are doing today that we call Christianity, let me tell you the truth. If God does not bring the truth, we will not last. You see it happen. That's why when we do these things, some of our fathers just look at you and laugh. They say, "We did this thing, you know, when we were young. All this jim-jim you are doing. Evangelism, I did it. SU, I did it." That's what they will tell you. They will even say, "NCCF, we did it." They will tell you where they served as escorts. Say, "Bring me my gulda. All this nonsense you are doing, we have done everything." They were frustrated for many years and could not last. You go online and see the number of pastors hanging themselves and coming out after 20 years in ministry to say, "Look, I quit. Let me use one ministry," not for the sake of sarcasm. God TV. Many of you know God TV, right? Look at the man who was the head of God TV. Had brought Benny Hinn, one of the chiefest evangelists, preached to souls. And one time he just got up and said, "I'm tired of pretending. Let me go and live my life with another woman in South Africa." And he left your gospel with your Jesus and your proposal and chose another life. That's an indictment on the integrity of God's word. Filled with the Holy Spirit, oh, he prayed in tongues many times, cried many times. Almost all the world's voices that we respect, he had hosted them, and he left. And left only his wife, who claimed she was not affected by it. And after a few years, she said, "Me too. I can't lie. I'm tired." And they left. Look at the number of pastors' children who pretend until they get to an age of discretion and say, "Daddy, let me tell you, I'm 25 now. I've pretended for 24 years. My birthday is next week. From next week, let me live the life I've truly wanted." Either the word of God is telling us the truth, either Jesus lied to us, or there is something we have not found. "I am the way." Listen to Jesus. "I am the truth. I am life." Everybody who tasted, Jesus said, "There is water that I can give you, madam. And if you truly drink of this water, you will never thirst again." I got tired of religion. I got tired of lying. I remember those days. I would not do my devotion for almost 2 months. I tell you, I leave all those devotional manuals. And then one day I would just get up and pray and cry and repent and go back and read, like some of you are doing, and read everything again and say, "Lord, forgive me." Maybe I watch one evangelical film, or I'm just reminded of hellfire. One day the Holy Spirit just convicts me. And I said, "Lord, for how long?" You know that song? "'Tis so sweet to trust." Hold on. Those who wrote it knew where they were writing. Many of us are copying their song. We've not had one that is a derivative of the truthfulness of our experience. These guys wrote songs that were not to make album. The goal of the song was not to wax an album. They were so... These people had gotten to a level where because when you are intoxicated with the reality of the spirit, you will sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It has nothing to do with being a musician. It's God's system of expressing the power and the might. And we sing it. We hold our hymns. Tomorrow we'll sing it again. Jesus, Jesus, how I love you. How I've proved you o'er and o'er. Precious Jesus. What's the other part of the song? Oh, for grace. And we sing it and we know that we are lying. Now, it's not like we are aware that this thing I'm singing is not true. And we round up the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We say the sweet fellowship that we do not even understand. The sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit with prayerlessness. We are still saying it. And we call it sweet fellowship. You've eaten pounded yam. You know it's sweet. You've eaten, what do you eat in this side of one major food that you can't resist? What name of that beans? That, thank you. That irresistible beans, that the beans is different, the stew is different. When you add everything, I mean, I've not been able to resist that meal for whatever reason. Now, watch this. The Bible said, oh, taste. Not just hear stories. Don't take God at it. Come and taste. And see that the Lord is good. It's not something that you just live spooky by faith in the spirit. It can become an experience that you say to live Jesus is to die. No, I have tasted. It's not the issue of if a husband doesn't come tomorrow. It's not the issue of if I don't become a pastor. It's not the issue of if I don't get a job. All these options are ways of communicating our intrinsic frustration that has been there. You're quiet. I want to believe the word is entering you. We're teaching tonight. We're starting very slow. It's like a plane that is lifting. Leave fresh fire. We're coming there later. Just leave that, because this is totally useless when there is no, when your understanding has not been constructed. What will you do with the fresh fire? Open a new church that continues this error. Where did this error start from? Because it was not there in the early church. At what point did we veer off God's pattern? The word church was used by Jesus himself, not an archangel. Let's look at the foundation. Matthew 16. Lord, I thank you. You see, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. When you come out of this thing, like it's happening to you tonight, you will watch believers. It's like a circle that is spinning people in error. And you just look and say, this is where I was. When we tell unbelievers they are missing, they look at us and feel sorry for us. They really feel sorry for us. They already know they are going to hell. But at least they are sure that they are not in bondage in terms of the sociological deception. That's why all kinds of sociologists, after studying the church in the context of society, came up with many sociological theories to explain what they term is a confusion and madness, from Karl Marx to, you name them, all the people you studied. They concluded that religion is just a system to help poor people find a sense of belonging. Others believe that religion is a system rich people kept to make sure that the loyalty of the poor keep coming. And they all have statistics to prove it. Because that's what we allow the devil turn us into. But in the name of Jesus, the Lord is bringing us out. The Bible says, God who had commanded light to shine out of darkness. Not into darkness. Out of darkness. That's what is happening to us. Is God speaking to you? The idea is not to get you angry to start insulting any pastor or any denomination. No. The idea is to bring you truth that you can be happy and say, truly, I have found the reason why Jesus came. If you ever claim you are happy and joyful without this understanding, it's a lie. No way. There is nothing about religion that was designed to give you joy. You find out how many times the scribes and the Pharisees laughed in the Bible. Find out how many times they were happy. They were the angriest people in the entire episode of Jesus' ministry. Let my King be lifted up. Oh, Hosanna. Jesus, you be lifted higher. Be lifted higher. That's what the Bible teaches us. That Jesus, you be lifted. Not a religious sect. Higher. Be lifted higher. Oh, Jesus, you be lifted higher. Let my King be lifted up. Oh, hallelujah. Please sit down. Turn to the book of Matthew 16. Will it be projected? Okay. Matthew 16 and verse 18. Jesus is about to introduce the idea of church. Don't take it from Joshua Selman. Don't take it from any pastor. Let's go to Jesus, who is the author himself. Here's what he's saying. I say unto you, remember, just keep it at 18 there. The foundation for the commencement of this ideology was a revelation of who he was. Let's not forget. We must keep that context. Jesus looks at his disciples, having been partakers of his ministry and the power and the fire that was upon him. He said, gentlemen, I have a question for you. Oh, yes, master, rabbi, we've been waiting. He said, who do men say that I am? He said, very good question, Jesus. This thing has troubled us too. Some say you are Elias. Some say you are one of those old prophets. Some say you are this and that and that. And then he looked at them. He said, but you have seen me. We went to the crusades together. You saw the miracles. You were the people who packed the remaining bread. What is your verdict about that man you saw? And not one of them could answer. So it's not your fault that you may not have an answer to who he is. Even the disciples walking close to him. Proximity does not give you a revelation of who Jesus is. That you are around church activities. I'm an usher. I'm a pastor. I mean, this does not guarantee that you know God. You can even be the elder or the deacon in charge of new converts. That doesn't mean that because you've done it for 5 or 6 years, you have that understanding. Please follow me very carefully and let's hear what the Lord has for us. What do you say that I am? And they kept quiet. And the Bible says, Peter, speaking by the Spirit, says, I know, not we know, I know who thou art. Thou art Christ, not Jesus. Not Jesus. Thou art Christ, the anointed. For no man can do these things except God be with him. Thou art the anointed, he said, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looks at Peter and hears his reply. He says, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this. You couldn't have known it on your own. It was revealed. But flesh and blood
was not the agency that revealed this to you, but my Father. And then he says, and I say unto you, this is the church about to be, the Lord is about to inaugurate the idea of the church. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Very interesting words. Who is the builder? Who is the owner? I will. It's an act of my will. It's a strategy I came up with, that I will build my church. And he says, if you allow me build it, I will build it in such a way and manner that the gates of hell, come on now, look at how cheap Satan destroys us with all our praying in tongues. There is something wrong with that building. Jesus said, if I'm the one that builds it, there is a formation in that building that will make the gates of hell to not be able to prevail. Are we together now? Upon this rock, verse 19. Let's look at 19. And I will give unto you, not Peter, that church, when I build it, I will give unto that church the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That whatever you, that church, will bind will be what has been bound in heaven. I will create a system between you and heaven to be able to tap into the things that are happening in the heavens, so that it will be in the earth as it is in the heaven. The King James did not get the rendition correctly. It's supposed to be to establish in the earth. The order is always on earth as it is in heaven. Not on earth, then it will happen in heaven. No. That the things that have been bound, disallowed in the heavens, we will enforce it here on earth. And the things that have been allowed, loosed in heaven, we will enforce it on earth. This is the church now. Are we together? Last verse, verse 20. It says, and he charged his disciples that they should tell no man he was the Christ. Why will he be hiding his identity? Anyway, let's leave that for another time. What is the church? Exactly. When you say church, what comes to your mind? What exactly is the church? Write this down. The church is God's system and strategy for enforcing the kingdom. The church is a strategy. The church is a strategy. God's system and strategy for enforcing the kingdom. The name given to that strategy is Ecclesia, the church. The church is not just a group of goers to a service. I'll explain to you where that comes in. But God's idea of a church was not just a group of flock or sheep. Are we together now? Just sitting indefinitely under the tutelage of a man of God forever. God's idea was to fabricate a system, the only authorized entity on earth capable of staying the power of hell is called the church. The only, not one of the many, the only authorized system, entity on earth that is able to enforce the kingdom is called the church. If you're with me, say amen. The church was God's system designed to restore man, restore creation back to God's pattern, God's ordinance, God's way of doing things. The church is never a place of religion. The church is not just about church services. The church is not just about fasting and prayer. Please listen to me. I'm not saying these things are not important. The church is not even just about evangelism, as we call it. The church is not all about just Bible studies. These things are only useful when the foundation is understood. Otherwise, all of these auxiliary things become the repeated frustration of Christians. What did we say the church is? A system, a strategy for enforcing the kingdom. Remember, brothers and sisters, when Jesus came to the earth, his message was just one. Thy kingdom come. Jesus didn't come to be a man of God. He didn't come to be a pastor, a prophet, an apostle. He didn't come to become Apostle Joshua Selman. He came as Jesus. He was never called Pastor Jesus. He came with an intention. And in 3.5 years, brothers and sisters, he achieved it. And set up a people that no force of hell. We are. The foundation of our beliefs and conviction is under threat. And if we don't reorient ourselves and our children, a generation will rise that will not know what Jesus is, who Jesus is, nor the purpose of church. You go to the United Kingdom now and see the extent to which secular humanism is eating up spirituality. Sunday is like any other day. People see you going to church and it's almost as if you are a man wearing with on. And they look at you and like, where are you going to? Church? Nah. That's the strategy, because we have lost God's idea. Satan is never afraid of church buildings. Satan is never afraid of conferences. Don't make any mistake to think when you organize a conference, Satan is afraid of it. I know who Satan is afraid of. That strategy built by the hand of God. When God built man with his own hand, Satan was so threatened he fought that man. Now, Satan hears the Lord talking of another building. That this time I will build a system. And Satan said, what is that system? Let's find out quickly. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Is God speaking to us? God's desire, right from after the fall, was to separate. Listen carefully. You need to get what I'm saying. God's desire, right from after the fall of man in Genesis, was to separate and consecrate a people through whom his values, his agenda, his vision would be advanced. Right from Genesis chapter 3, when man fell, everything from Genesis chapter 3 until Acts chapter 2 was a journey. Everything that happened in the interim, Jericho falling down, prophets rising and falling, kings rising and falling, they were all like some of you who study theater arts, you know that there are people who are the main characters. Is that true? But there are supporting characters. Sometimes they show their faces once. Most of all these things that happened were just auxiliary characters. The real story that connects from Genesis chapter 3 is the coming of the Messiah and the manifestation of the church. So from Genesis chapter 3, then we go to the Gospels. Then we go to the book of Acts, the manifestation of the church. Then we go to the Revelations, victory established. This is the Bible. This is the story. God's original idea, corrupted by man being deceived, giving in to the woman, and then God's reinvention to restore man back to that strategy from Genesis 4 until the manifestation of the Son of God. Everything was a process. Every prophecy came from different angles but channeled towards one thing. You can summarize the Bible in one moment. His idea, the idea attempting to be corrupted, his wisdom creating another strategy, Jesus coming as the enforcer of that strategy, the church birthed, the church victorious. That's it. That's it. Every other thing, if you like, read the Songs of Solomon. Oh, thou art fairer. All those things are auxiliary support systems. Are you getting what I'm telling you now? Yes. That was God's idea for me and for you. And he created a system. I'm going to show you how the building is so that you will find out whether your life and my life is built according to that pattern. That's the goal of tonight's teaching. You are not part of the church just because you identify with a denomination. No, you can be part of a religious circle, but are you part of the church? The ones who will receive this is the church. We have to find out first whether you are part of the church in reality. I'm not doubting that you are affiliated or associated with one man of God here and there, or one Christian association, one Christian group, which is valuable. But are you genuinely part of the church? Exodus chapter 19. Let me show you something very quickly. Exodus chapter 19. Let me just summarize. I wanted to do a very, very comprehensive walk with us through scripture. But I'm going to just cut it so that we find somewhere to pray for tonight. Exodus 19. Let's just look at verse 5 and 6. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. The Lord is communicating his intention and revealing it through Moses the prophet. It's projected. Can we read it together? Can you see it? Okay, let's try. One to read. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenants, then shall ye be a what? Peculiar people. Does this sound any similar to any verse that Peter was speaking in the gospel? You shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth is mine. Six. And ye shall be unto me. This is Revelations 5:10 there. Are we together? A what? Kingdom of priests and an holy nation. 1 Peter 2:9, Revelations 5:10, everything. Consistent, his agenda. Right from beginning. He said, these are the words. Go and speak to the nation of Israel. That although you are on a journey, the goal is not promised land. The goal is not to go and take milk and honey. All those things are auxiliary. The whole goal is that I want to build for myself a kingdom of priests, a peculiar people who will become enforcers of my agenda. Brothers and sisters, no matter what we are doing, if it does not produce this, it's not the church. Are we together now? No matter what we claim we are doing, how many conventions, whatever it is, if we do not achieve this, then something is really wrong. From the beginning, God had an agenda that attempted to be thwarted by Satan from Adam. Now, there's no time I would have shown you that what Jesus was for us, that was what Satan was sent to become to the then inhabitants of the earth. As Lucifer, the son of the morning, there was a dispensation that Adam did not originate. I hope you know that. It's not something to argue about. I mean, this is something that is all from the Bible. We know that Adam is not the first man, right? Was the first man created to start our dispensation of people. But once upon a time, there were inhabitants of the earth, a kind and a type of humanoid species. And Satan was sent to represent the love of God to that inhabitant. It was what sponsored not only his making but his office. Remember, there are stories that the Bible says about Satan that we need to investigate by the Spirit. You are like your father, Satan. He said he was a liar and a murderer. There are certain things the Bible says about that we do not find in our civilization. So it's an old story. Where did he lie and who did he kill? Jesus is talking here. He said, you are behaving like that guy. He's a liar and a murderer. Are we together? So Satan had already been in earth. Remember that the Garden of Eden was not created for Adam. The Garden of Eden had always been there. Thou art the cherub that covereth, you know, and all of these things. Thou were in Eden, the garden of the Lord. Ezekiel 28. Don't turn there. Just write it for reference. Thou was in Eden, the garden of the Lord. And he began to describe every ornament, say, until iniquity was found in you. So Satan is only that, you see, our generation is the first to ever demonstrate advancement through reproduction. Satan had never known that a man can meet with a woman and another life can come out. It was only creation, not reproduction. It was from our civilization that the possibility of reproduction by the wisdom of God was established. That was why Satan began to be afraid. When the Lord made a statement that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent, women don't carry seeds. The seeds are with men. So what mystery is God saying that a woman will carry a seed? He's never seen a pregnant woman. And when Satan saw Eve pregnant, it was strange. He thought she could only give birth once. Then she got pregnant again and gave birth to Seth. And then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And he said, something is wrong. The biggest opposition to this agenda, according to Jesus himself, is the manifestation of the gates of hell. The gates of hell. The gates of hell describes Lucifer and all the strategies and the devices that he deploys to frustrate God's agenda. The Bible tells us to not be unaware of Satan's devices. There are devices that he tries to bring upon believers and upon people to thwart God's ultimate agenda. Write this down. The system and the agency through which this global invasion, this restoration would occur, is called the church. The church is the name of that system. The church first talks of a species of people, reformers, I call them, revivalists, ambassadors, men who make a difference by being the difference. Then the second meaning of the church is the institution that trains those men. The church is first a strategy. Then the name given to the people that are being designed by that strategy. Then also the institution that trains those people. Threefold definition. Are we together? That the church first is a what? Strategy. Say after me, strategy. Then a people. Then an institution. We have done well in understanding the church as the institution that trains. But we have not done well in understanding the church as the strategy and the church as the people. Let's discuss very quickly the process of becoming that church. Few minutes and we'll round up. Wherever we stop, we'll continue tomorrow. Are you getting blessed? Is God really speaking to us? Number one, the first process designed by God to begin the process of becoming part of that church that will qualify you for this fresh fire is what the Bible calls new birth. Write it down. Please, you must know this, otherwise your evangelism is a lie. What will you be telling the soul? Do you know? Listen. Call an average Christian right now and give him a sinner and say, turn this sinner into a mighty man of God. He doesn't know what to do. Just carry an unbeliever and call one Christian and give him and say, please, get this person born again. Follow him up for me. By the end of the year, we expect that this should be a great man. That guy can get him born again. He will just say, okay, pray after me. Guy say, why? Say, just pray. That's how all of us do it too. Don't ask too many questions. You are not yet born again and you're already asking questions. Say, Lord Jesus, this and that and that. Amen. Say, congratulations you have. He say, what do I do next? Say, go to church. Say, that's it. Say, just go. I'm telling you. Go. That's just go there. Then the person comes and says, okay, I've been in church for 2 weeks. What else do I do? Then if you're a Pentecostal, you say, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? If you are not, you tell the person, go and do something else. And then the person goes there and says, okay, what else do I do? Say, become a worker in church. Then he becomes a worker. Then he says, what else do I do? And he say, look, I don't know, But whatever the case, just try to make sure that you do so. Keep being a Christian. Everybody say new birth. Listen to me. If you have not encountered Jesus Christ, I don't care how long you have been around Christian circles. There are many people in church who have not encountered Jesus. Just because they found themselves around, they know the songs. They have even convinced themselves, no, sir. The kingdom has a gate. Jesus said, I am the door. You don't follow through the back door, through a window. Just because a man of God, an apostle, a prophet, a priest accredited you, does not make you a Christian. Please listen carefully. Jesus looked at that man and said, ye must be born again. Everybody say new birth. There are people today who cannot tell you they've given their life to Jesus. Just because you stood in front of an altar and recited what they say you should recite did not make you born again. That's just a system of guide according to Romans chapter 10 to help you. But the Bible says it must be of the heart first before it will make sense with the mouth. Everyone say new birth. You cannot, the system, remember Jesus said, I am the one building this church. And the foundation is whoever must become part of this church must encounter me. You don't encounter the Father to be saved. You don't encounter the Holy Spirit to be saved. There is no name upon the heavens, under heaven, given to men. So that you verify it is the Holy Spirit that represents the presence and the life of Jesus. But the office, the personality responsible for receiving men into the kingdom is Jesus Christ himself. The same way you have a university, there is the vice chancellor, there is this, but when you check your admission letter, you don't see the vice chancellor's signature, you see the registrar. It is his office that is responsible for recruiting people. Have you, the Bible says this is the record. Apostle John is teaching people here. This is the record that God has given us away, his life. And he said, this life is in his son. So that it is he that has the son. Do you have the son? Have you received the son? If we don't preach this, our children will go to hell. They will be around church, playing keyboard in the church, acting drama in the church, but they have not met Jesus. I show you where we are missing these patterns. We do evangelism, and even those doing the evangelism are not saved themselves. The foundation for becoming the church is God helping us. Am I wasting your time tonight? We must go back and re-examine what we are teaching. I say it with all apology. There are churches that the last time they ever were concerned about people being saved was years ago. We teach every other thing. The average church goer cannot tell you how a man can be saved. Something is wrong. And I will build my church. The foundation for that building is that every member must encounter the Christ by himself, not through a pastor. By himself, not just the God of Joshua Selman, by himself. Let me tell you why our Christian experience is not strong. We are largely in Africa. We only know God through men of God. We don't know God through encounters. I'm not against you, God using a man of God to help you. But brothers and sisters, a time must come you stand face to face with Jesus yourself and say, Jesus, I have seen you. My eyes have seen the King. I have made that choice myself, Jesus. That's why when a great man falls, the members and everybody falls. God forbid, but if you catch me with a bottle of beer today and you say, Apostle, I'm disappointed, I will backslide too. It's a sign that your encounter is an auxiliary one. It's not genuine. When you have really encountered Jesus, you turn and say, Apostle, I respect you. I don't know what may have happened. This is terrible. I pray God will lead you. But as for me,
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all might, with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance.
Please sit down. Something is wrong with our born again. I'm telling you this. You listen to me. Something is wrong with the name of what our parents are calling born again. Something is wrong with the name of what our young people are calling born again. Just because somebody has money and he's sowing a seed to a man of God does not get him born again. Just because somebody is a gifted cameraman like this gentleman and he says, look, you are starting a church, let me come. And when they are counting those who have been in that church for 5 years, they count him because his picture was part of the foundational people, does not mean he has encountered Christ. When God builds his church, everybody must pass through the door, Christ. The door, Christ. I am the way. There are many other ways, so, but I am the way. It's the reason why our churches are full of ordained religious people who are not born again. They were ordained because how will the pastor feel now? This guy has been too long in church. He doesn't know what to do with it. I'll come and join the ministerial team. And the man is there. They don't hear God. They are not connected to the spirit of life. So they cannot establish on earth what has been established in heaven, because that connection was never there. That's the reason why a man can be in church. I'm not talking of the flesh. He was never, never part of God from the beginning. The word of God can be preached and there is no understanding, because the spirit that creates that understanding is not there. Something is wrong, go. Is God helping us tonight? The entrance of the kingdom. Jesus began a conversation with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Nicodemus comes to him by night and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a man sent from God. He said, for no man can do these things except God be with him. Verse 3, Jesus speaks, verily, verily, NCCF, hear me, I say unto you, except a man, any man, except a man, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, except a man be born. He was talking to somebody who was already serving in church. He was talking to somebody with the status of a deacon. He said, I don't care who you are, if it is the kingdom, if it's the church you want to be part of, you have been a scribe, Nicodemus, you know the Torah of heart, what a Bible study specialist. But he said, except you pass through, you don't inherit salvation just from father, mother. No, sir. Except a man be born again, listen, he cannot see the kingdom. Nicodemus was confused. Don't insult me here. Can a man enter back into his mother's womb? He said, let me explain to you further. Except a man be born of water and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. Then he says, that which is flesh is flesh, that which is spirit is spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth, you cannot tell where it's going or where it's coming. He says, so is one who is led of the spirit. Nicodemus was caught to the heart. NCCF, hear me. I know you are Christians. I know you are churchgoers, but have you met the Lord Jesus? Don't say, Apostle, why will you be asking us at this level? No, sir. You don't take a chance with this. It's amazing how many people in the church. That's the only way Satan can gain entrance to the church, is when he finds something of himself. You go to churches and watch what happens. The instrumentalists play instruments and they quickly go out. They are playing and gisting and watching a movie. When they call and say, this other artist is coming, they run and come and sit down and play skillfully. NCCF, please begin to probe the viability and the sincerity of the encounter of your people. It doesn't matter who is sharing what. It doesn't matter the depth where. Have you met the Lord Jesus? If you have not met the Lord Jesus, sir, ma, you are not born again. Period. Let me give you one more and then we'll close. We'll continue tomorrow. Romans chapter 10. Just write this scripture for the reference. Romans chapter 10 from verse 8 to 10 and then 13. The Bible shows us God's authorized formula for being saved. Maybe let's look at it. Romans chapter 10. Give us 8 to 10. Then you jump to verse 13. If this is not what you did, you are not saved. But what saith he? The word is nigh thee. So the foundation of your being born again must be based on the word. Not just an idea somewhere. Are we together now? Yes. The Bible says we are born of the incorruptible seed of the word. You can be born of other things, other ideas and philosophies of men. The Bible says the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Two things must participate in your genuinely being saved. Help me name them. Number one, your heart. Number two, your mouth. These two elements are God's authorized system. It must be believed and eventually it must be verbalized. He said, declare ye that thou mightest be justified. Speaking is the only way you release your will. I cannot know what you are thinking. When you verbalize it, then I know. God cannot take for granted that you have chosen him. One of the ways you choose is by speaking. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If they are interested, say it. The miracle only happened when the prophet said, not when he wished. The word of faith that we preach, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, this is where many members stop. But he says, and believe. You can come up just emotionally and repeat after a man. And believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead. He said, thou shall, hallelujah, thou shall be saved. If you have done this, confess with me, I'm saved. Say it, I am born again. Say it with all your heart, I am saved. I am born again. Verse 13. Give us verse 13 quickly, please. For whosoever, Muslim, Christian, Yoruba, Igbo, Hausa, Chinese, North Korean, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called upon his name genuinely? Is there a time period in your life you stood before him and said, Jesus, I make this choice. I believe you are not a scam. I believe you are not a fraud. My father may have been a pastor, so I found myself as the youth pastor because of my father. But right now, I stand before you and before heaven to declare that I love you. You are my God. You are my King. Ah. If you have made this decision, there are many things that are the implication of this decision. Number one, that for as long as you stand in him, you stand blameless before the throne. You stand commended by the blood of the Lamb, sanctified in your spirit, soul, and body because you have chosen. Two, you have access to what we call righteousness. Righteousness is not doing right. Righteousness is the nature of God that he has imparted upon you. There is the outworkings of righteousness. The entrance, the way that I stand before him, regardless of what it is, like Joshua the high priest, you stand. He calls you holy. He calls you blameless, standing before the throne. And then you have access to the Spirit of all grace. The Holy Spirit representing the life of God within you, activating your organs of interaction to be alive to the word and the kingdom. The Holy Spirit is like the plug-in power in the kingdom. He's the one who helps everyone who belongs to the culture of the kingdom to connect. If you have not received this, you are not saved. Maybe I should stop here tonight. You have captured my heart, consumed my heart with your love. You have captured
my heart consumed, my heart with your love. Sing it from the depth of your heart. You have captured my heart, consumed
my heart with your love.
If God grants us grace and I have the time, I will teach you 7 pillars of the gospel. There are 7 things you must believe if it is the gospel. 7 major pillars that make up the gospel, so that you will vet what you have believed. It matters what you believe about God. Unbelievers, Jesus is in every religion as many things. There is something you have to believe about him to save you. Believing Jesus is alive does not save you. Even the demons know, they tremble, but they are not saved. There is something about Jesus you must believe to be saved. It is not every information about Jesus that saves you. There is an information you must believe, that Jesus came as a revelation of the love of the Father. Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead expressed, came as a revelation of the love of the Father, the bridge between a fallen humanity and a God that loves them so passionately. Are we together now? It's important to believe Jesus died. Tomorrow we are celebrating prophetically the resurrection. If you don't believe Jesus died, you are not saved. You must believe that he not only died, that he went to Hades there. He met Satan. He collected the keys. Hallelujah. You must believe. Then you must believe he resurrected by the glory of the Father, who is called the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that raised him from the dead. You must believe. Every other founder died and could not come back to life. But when Jesus died, the Bible says he rose up victoriously. Yes, he was seen by men, appeared among angels. They were witnesses to his resurrection. He rose up. Death could not hold you down. You are the risen King. Seated in my, hold on, don't sing that part too fast, because that's something you must believe. Believing that Jesus has been raised from the dead is not enough. He is not raised and roaming around. There are Christian sects that believe that when Jesus rose up, he went to Arabia or went to UK, married a woman and lived a normal life. That is rubbish. My Jesus, your Jesus that built the church, the Bible says that a coronation, David saw it. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I through the church make your enemies your footstool. The Bible tells us his present location today. He's not roaming around in space like the disembodied spirits, for no place was found for them. But there is a place in heaven. He sits and was given a name, Philippians chapter 2, a name, an office, an identity that is higher than every other name. The Bible says that every time that name is invoked, everything in heaven, in the earth, and under the earth will bow, 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 bow. Do you believe that Jesus? Is that the Jesus you gave your life to? Listen, these things are the foundations. Then you will know that infirmity should not have a place in your... It's not just the issue of I'm healed. No. There is a revelation that sponsors that. Then you know that everything that comes from above, it says, whatsoever is from above, from above, from above, from above, is above all. Now, when you understand the certain truths of scripture, just makes sense that this is the victory that overcomes. That I'm an overcomer. This is not the cliche of a denomination. It's a fact. By reason of passing through the way, I'm implicated to be an overcomer. So no matter what I'm going through, I take my eyes away. I received a gene regeneration. I was regened like a blood transfusion. A regeneration happened to me. Are we together? This is only the first step. There are 4 processes.
Remember, I told you the church. There are many things about them. It's the last that is being sent. It's when we get to the sent part that we talk of fresh fire. Until you are sent, there's no need for being equipped. The fire did not just fall on day one. There were other things that happened. He had called them. He had prepared them. They had encountered him. He taught them on the matters of the kingdom. Then he released them like the foxes of Samson. Are we together? Pray one prayer and we'll round up tonight's meeting. Lord, let's start with thanksgiving. Let's start with thanksgiving. Jesus, thank you for the blood. Thank you for the sacrifice. I was taught that you are a religious founder, but you're more than that. Hallelujah.
Until they were saved and been established in the heavens. It's a secret many believers do not understand. So we launch into life and do whatever we want to do. And the only things that work are the things that have a foundation in the realm of the spirit. It's a mystery that the ancient understood. Hallelujah. And I said, God, what gave Elijah such power? He had no mind. Suddenly, an entire nation just found out that there was no rain. And people started finding out, what is happening? And someone said, I knew a man who said something wrong. Governmental authority, kingdom legislation. That comes by reason of knowledge. The Bible gives us the secret. It says that Elijah was a man just like us. But this guy understood a secret. And the Bible says he prayed what? Endlessly. He prayed earnestly to settle things in the realm of the spirit. And out of the overflow of what had been established in the spirit, all he did was to execute it on earth. Hear me. This is a powerful, timeless secret. That you never attempt to do things in the earth realm until it is first a reality in the spirit. In the book of 2 Kings, he told Ahaz, he said, I already hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Why did he go to pray? He began to perceive that the Spirit of God was operating. The time of restoration of the rain had come. And so he went in the realm of the Spirit to crystallize it. And the Bible says he began to travail. And he was waiting for the time when the earth and the realm of the spirit was synchronized. And he said, go and check. Do you see any sign? The sign of its manifestation means it's already a reality in the spirit. And he kept praying. He said, go back and check. And I'm sure the servant will say, don't waste your time. He said, no. There is a formation in the spirit. And I cannot do anything in the earth realm until it is first a reality. And the servant came back and said, I see a fish. He said, that's it. It's already a reality. Does it tell Ahaz, run, the rain is about to start. And the Bible says, suddenly, the cloud started responding to realities that had been in the spirit. The cloud suddenly started changing. One moment he sees just a feast, and then now he sees a dark cloud, and the Bible says the rain, and the hand of the Lord came upon him, and barefoot he ran, and outran the chariots down to Jezreel. Principle as governmental authority. The principle of traveling until things become crystallized in the realm of the spirit. We have so many people that just start projects, start things, and we do not crystallize it in the spirit. And so we waste our time struggling on earth. This is the secret of peace. Let me tell you something. That as believers, we travel. We travel until this, whatever it is that we desire, becomes a reality in the realm of the spirit. The proof that is a reality is that you will see a sign in the earth realm. Because the Bible says God made some lights to be for signs. There were certain lights that were particularly created just to show signs. So that when you see these appearances, then you will understand that certain things have become a reality in the spirit. It's an ancient secret. That man understood. Even the kings knew. Before they go for war, they said, go and send it to the prophet. Has our victory been established in the spirit yet? So that we may waste our time. And then the prophet will inquire and say, I have seen it. You are winning. Then you say, alright, now that we see that it has been established in the heavens, what is the strategy that will reproduce? Just what we have seen in the spirit. Are you following me, friends? I'm giving you keys that will give you a fearful life of victory in the earth. We have too many believers that just move around. We do not understand that this earth realm is only a reflection of the things that until we come to that realization. That's what it means to be heavenly minded. It means to set our minds on things above, to realize that nothing just happens. What you call a mistake in this realm is a definite operation of things that have been crystallized in the spirit. Genesis 11, Nimrod had imagined these things in the spirit. The word imagine there is the word Yetzer. A powerful dimension of thought that becomes a reality in the spirit. And the Bible says God looked from the spirit. God saw that they had finished that tower, and he knew nothing will stop them. And God said, let's destroy these people. If we don't, they will actually build that tower. Hear me. If God didn't scatter them, they would have built that tower. Hallelujah. Are you getting blessed? It's an understanding that we do not know. So in the place of prayer, one of the beautiful things about prayer is that we have the opportunity to birth things in the spirit. And then what we do is to step out in time and wait for the manifestation to meet us, and then we move with it. And all you become is a fearful wonder. People look at you and say, how did he do this thing? Hallelujah. Many families embarking on projects. We don't establish things in the spirit. In our lives, in ministry, we don't establish